This morning I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture to you. You have it listed in your bulletin there. The first one comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and the second one from the 19th chapter of Revelations 11 through 16. First of all, Matthew chapter 28, very familiar words. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Then from Revelation, chapter 19, 11 through 16. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, these are two vastly different passages of Scripture, but there is a point that they tie together. Because you see, one of them is the point at which we have been given the Great Commission. Christ has died, He's resurrected, He's about to ascend to heaven. Shortly the Holy Spirit will come upon the disciples and all those who are gathered together, and they will go out and make the church the church. They will go out and begin sharing the good news. What I just read to you was the consummation of time, the end of time, when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords does come and bring judgment. Not me bringing judgment, not you bringing judgment, but Jesus. Only Him, for He is only worthy. In that meantime, in between, is what I'm calling a moment of grace. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? A moment of grace in between those two. Because you see, in between that point where Jesus told them to go and make disciples and in His return, it is the only place between here and eternity, between then and eternity, between now and eternity, it's the only point in which people can be told the good news of Jesus Christ, and where they can have the opportunity to say, "Lord, I need You. I want You in my life." It's a moment of grace. We live today in that moment of grace. I also want to read to you a couple verses of Scripture from Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11. "Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that at every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We are in that moment, folks, where we need to call, where we need to share with others that they must call upon the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's only a short period of time when you look at eternity. But it's the period of time that we live in now, folks, and there is no other for all humanity in which they can experience that grace. I want to ask Shelley to share something this morning. Shelley, if you would, if you can't hear her, tell me, but she's going to speak loud enough.
I won't pass out.
Okay.
So we started coming to church here, and everyone here just greeted us with such enthusiasm and very loving and supportive. They didn't know me. People here have really tried to get to know me and been such a blessing to me. And last week I came down to the altar, and because I have been coming on Wednesday nights especially, those Wednesday night services are such a blessing. They have just changed my life incredibly. I was holding on to a lot of regrets and pains from the past and things that I didn't think I could forgive. And once I asked Christ into my heart, He immediately just changed everything. He has changed my marriage. He has changed the way I am a parent. He is just working wonders in my life. And I just, you know, I couldn't ask for anything more. And Dale travels a lot. He's gone a lot. Sometimes I'm by myself. But I know that there is not anybody in this church, especially my fab sisters, that I could not call and they would be there for me in a heartbeat. And having a supportive church family and knowing how much God loves me and my family and is taking care of me, I don't worry anymore. I don't have those worries. I don't have those regrets. I don't hold on to those little things in my life that eat away at you. Once you ask God to come in and take care of those things, He takes care of it. And He makes everything better. So for those of you who haven't been on Wednesday nights, for me, it's just been one of the biggest blessings I could ever ask for. I encourage you to come, invite your friends, and I just want to thank everybody here. You guys have been so wonderful to us. I can't imagine life without a church family anymore.
Amen.
Just can't imagine it.
Thank you. Thank you, Shelley. I wanted Shelley to share that tonight, that today, rather than on Wednesday night, because not everybody comes on Wednesday night, and this is not just my plug for getting you to come on Wednesday night, but I wanted everybody in this church to know that God changes lives and transforms hearts, and hear it right here from somebody that happened. Not from the preacher. That's what I get paid to do weekly, and tell you how God has changed me or whatever. Now, just don't ask my wife about it, you know. But Shelley, right there, is a witness as to what God and transforming power of the Holy Spirit can do. I'll be honest with you, you're an answered prayer, Shelley, you and your family. I have prayed for months, that somebody would come to the altar and say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my heart. I'm not stopping with Shelley. One is not what I want. It's not for me. It's because I know the need there is in people's lives when you don't have Christ. I know that life is not what it can be and what God intends it to be when Christ is absent, when a total commitment to Christ is absent. Thank you, Shelley, for your obedience and for sharing that. And I want to pray for you and Dale at the close of service. I want to ask y'all just to come up, if you don't mind. And I want to pray for you as a family. And anybody that wants to do that, I want you to come and lay hands on them and pray. Folks, we're about ministry here. We've got to be about that, about ministering and sharing the Word of Jesus Christ with the people around us. And if that means building a building, if that can be part of that, then so be it. But if that can't be, if that's not part of sharing Jesus Christ with the world, then we don't need to do it. We need to be about ministry. May God bless us and show us the way to do that. This, believe it or not, does lead into what I wanted to share with you this morning, if I can say anything that would even come close to what Shelley has said there as a personal testimony. We think about Jesus, and I think about that passage where Jesus was just a boy and he got missing from his family when they came to Jerusalem on one of the festivals, and they had come and their company was leaving and going home. After a day, they got to missing Jesus. And where is Jesus at? Well, I thought you got him, Mary. I thought he was with you and your folks. And, well, Joseph, I thought he was with you and you were looking after him. After all, he's your son, you know. Well, they found out that he wasn't there. They went back frantically, as any one of us would if our 12-year-old child was, or whatever-year-old child was not present. And where was he? He was in the temple, talking with the elders and the scribes and all of those that were knowledgeable about the law. And they were amazed at his answers and his knowledge. And when Mary scolded him, "Jesus, why? You've worried us to death. Don't you know you got to stay close, that there's people out there that'll snatch you up and run with you?" He said, "Didn't you know I would be about my Father's business? I'd be right here." Well, folks, we need to be about the Father's business. And the Father's business is seeking people out that need Him. The Father's business is providing them, that's His business now I'm talking about, providing them with salvation that can't come from anywhere else. Philippians, Paul said in Philippians, "At the name of Jesus every knee shall bow." Not the name of Muhammad, not the name of any other prophet, or not Elijah, not Moses, not Billy Graham, and certainly not me, but at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and tongue confess. Only through Jesus can we be saved. And third thing that we need to be about the Father's business is to reconcile all people to Him. Now, how do we do that? How do we be about the Father's business? I think we do that three ways. First of all, by raising and focusing our vision. Folks, you know, we've got to have a vision. My wife is one of the most task-oriented people I know. I'm going to say something good about her. I'm not making fun of her, you know, or pointing out anything. She knows how to set goals and get things done. I kind of just float around from here to there, and whatever's on fire, I try to put out. Now, I know that I need to have more of a vision of what I need to be as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as whatever in my life. I need to be more focused. I need not only to be focused, but I need to know what I'm focused on. What are we focused on, folks? Are we focused on the color of the carpeting, or the size of our budget, or building a new building, or what? Are we focused upon ABCCM or Habitat for Humanity? Well, those are all good things, aren't they? They shouldn't be dismissed. But those are not our focus. Jesus Christ, folks, has to be our focus. Sharing Jesus Christ. And we do that through ABCCM and Habitat for Humanity, and by building a new building, and by having a place to worship that is comfortable and conducive to that worship. Those are the things, the peripheral things. Those are the things that are on the outside, but our focus needs to be Jesus Christ. We could have $10 million and come in here and say we're going to build a $10 million building. Well, if we don't have a purpose, a focus for it, it's useless. It's just an empty building. Our focus must be upon Jesus. And our focus, we know what our focus is now. Our vision is. We know what our vision is. Our vision is to share Jesus Christ and to be in ministry for Jesus Christ. Now we have to focus on that vision more directly. I think about a laser. Do you know what a laser is? Can anybody tell me what laser means? You know, laser is an acronym for something. Anybody know? Yeah, you're close. I've got it written down here. Light amplification by simulated emission of radiation. At least that's what the dictionary said. So a laser is a focused light. It's not a light that's broad and covers everything, but it is confined and boosted and sent at such a fine particular wavelength that it can even cut through steel. Folks, our vision needs to be that focused. It needs to be that confined. It needs to be that in step with one another and with God and what God's will for us is. A few weeks ago, I went to an event a preacher event, and there was actually somebody there speaking that was worth listening to. I was rather amazed at it. And we were about to go into worship, or we were in worship service, and we were going to have communion. It was a very powerful time. I was fortunate to be there. And we were doing the liturgy as you lead up to communion. Turn your handbooks to page 12, and that liturgy that's there. And where the leader makes a statement and we respond. And you know what I'm talking about. Well, there was a guy that was just up in front of me and to the right that on everything that we as the group said, he was just that much out of unison. On everything, I mean, he was just that much early on everything that he said. It was kind of distracting. Folks, if we are not in unison, if we don't have that harmony, and the only harmony we can find is in Jesus Christ, you can believe that. The only way that we can be together and in unison and in harmony is in Jesus Christ. Now, we may be out of tune when we sing a little bit, or when we repeat, and we may be off step a little bit. I am all the time. That's not the important thing. But the important thing is that if we are not in unison with Christ, there's just something just going to not be right about what we're doing. It's going to be a distraction. It's going to take away from what God can do. We need to be that focused, that intense on what we're doing. Our daily reading of the Bible, our daily prayers, have to be more than just something on a list that you do. Okay, I prayed this morning, check. Okay, I read my Bible this morning, check. Okay, I said the blessing before I ate lunch, check. You know, we've got to be doing these things for more reason than just a chore list in which we want to check off, done. Done for the day. It's got to be more personal and more in step. We need to make a connection with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our focused vision reveals that those peripheral things, like the carpet and like the sound system and like the new building and like the ministries that we perform, that we are involved with, those peripheral things are less important, and Jesus is the main thing. What is it that is essential? It is connecting and being in harmony with the Lord of Lords. I heard a preacher at this same meeting talking talking about this, and they said, or in something relating to this, and they said that at council meeting, they had started having more prayer. That they were going to the point that they were having a 40-minute prayer time at council meeting, and it seemed like that they only needed 5 minutes then to take care of the business. Before that, they'd been having so much controversy and so much squabbling and bickering that it had taken an hour and a half to get 5 minutes worth of work done. Well, after 40 minutes of prayer, it only took 5 minutes to take care of all the business. Because they were in harmony. That prayer and that connecting with the King of Kings, it narrowed that focus to a laser fine point, and they were able to get the work done in a limited amount of time. Second thing is that out of the vision that we need to have, or out of the vision that we do develop, people would be compelled to tell others about Jesus. All right, let me ask you this question. What is it that you talk about the most? This is a rhetorical question. I'm not expecting anybody to answer. I don't want to know all of your answers. I'm sure I don't want to know. What is it that you talk about the most? What is it that your mind is occupied most with? How many of you have ever been in love? Anybody ever been in love? There's been a two or three. Renee, have you been in love? Okay, I just want to make sure. She kind of sheepishly raised her hand. Well, you know, when you first fell in love, and I hope it's still that way for you, when you fell in love with that perfect person, that's the only thing that was on your mind was that person. When you talk to your friends or anybody, most likely conversation ended up coming around to that person because you were in love. That was your focus. That person was the apple of your eye. You know, most of you grandparents, you probably talk about your grandchildren now, right? That's the apple of your eye. That's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that. Children, grandchildren, our loved ones. We talk about them because we love them. Well, some of us, we talk about golf a lot. Talk about how much we'd like to play it and how poor we are at it. And some of us talk about hunting or fishing or cars and the race. And there's even a few people that talk about Carolina basketball. And then there's those of us that are very holy and righteous that talk about Duke basketball. Isn't that right, Vance? Yeah. Right, Lynn? Okay. But folks, we're going to talk about what we're most focused about. Folks, let's quit talking about golf to our friends, or fishing to our friends, or basketball to our friends. Let's tell them about how much Jesus loves them and how much He loves me and how much He changed my life. Tell them about that, Shelley. Tell them about that when you are in those moments with friends. I mean, there's nothing. You don't have to give up golf or fishing, or you don't even have to give up. I'll say it. You don't even have to give up pulling for Carolina. Just don't exclude Jesus. Don't talk about them to the exclusion of what's really most important. Out of the vision that we need to raise up, folks, we need to remember that Jesus is most important. When we think about that focus, we need to think also about what it is that Jesus values most. We need to value sharing our faith. What is it that Jesus valued most in His ministry? What do we see Jesus doing? And what was it that was important to Jesus? It was people, wasn't it? Jesus didn't come into this world to heal the sick, singularly heal the sick. He did that because He loved people and He cared about people and He saw situations and came in contact with needs. Jesus did not heal every sick person in Judea, in Samaria, in Galilee in those days. There were people dying and sick all through that area. He doesn't heal everybody today. Not physically. But He does provide us with the healing that extends beyond that. The healing of the soul, healing of the heart, healing of the spirit. Jesus valued people. We need to value people. Not buildings, not programs, but people. And we need to be willing to share that good news. We need to be willing to build relationships with people. That's how it starts, by building relationships. And we all have relationships with people. Build relationships of trust. Take risk and love people. You know, obnoxious and weird doesn't win people to Christ. It doesn't endear people to Christ. I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian. I've been saved a long time. We talked about in our Sunday school class being in the middle of the road and such as that. And I'm in the middle of the road a lot of times. I'm not cold, you know, but I'm just not real hot and real close. I'll get in the middle, and that's wrong. I need to be on that other side, close to Christ. But you know, when I encounter somebody that they come up and they just jump up in my face and, "Are you saved, my brother?" You know, it just kind of recoils me. It takes me aback, even though I'm a preacher. You know, obnoxious or weird, and I don't mean that there's not a place for that, but showing people, building relationships, and caring about people, that's the way to endear people to Christ and to show them His love. The third thing we need to know is that we lead the practice of evangelism and sharing of Christ, the sharing of our vision. We lead people not from the pulpit, not from our Sunday school classes, not from the choir, not from the fab, not from the men's group, not from the wow group, not from whatever else we can name here. We don't lead people in the practice of evangelism from that perspective, but we lead it in our personal lives, in our personal daily walk. We lead people by the way we live outside these walls. We lead people in the practice of evangelism when people see Christ in us, even though they don't know that we're a member of a church or ever darkened the door of a church. We lead people by our example. We have to ask the question, why are we not reaching lost people? There are three things there, quickly, we need to do so that we can lead people to reach lost people. We need to ask God and let Him lead you. I cannot save one person. I can't. I wish I could. I said somewhere, I'd had this place so full of people that the doors would be busting out if I could save people. If I could draw people, this place would be full. But it's got to be Christ, and we need to talk to God and ask Him to do that. We need to take steps in our faith in sharing Jesus. We need to be faithful in sharing Him. And we need to lead by example. We need people to be able to see us and follow us. Not us, but the Christ that's in us. Matthew 28, Christ gives the Great Commission. Go, make disciples all the world in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Revelation 19, Christ comes back and His name is revealed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This morning, today, maybe it's this afternoon now, I don't know, barely. But today, we are in that moment of grace in which it's the only time, the only place in all of history, in all of time, in all of eternity, it's the one place between now and eternity in which we can kneel, bow our knee, and confess Him as our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I invite you this morning as we close that if you have not made that commitment, that Christ loves you, that He died for you, and I ask you to make that decision, not for me, not for your husband, not for your wife, not for your mama, or not for your daddy, but because of what Jesus did for you. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for this moment of grace. May it be a moment that does not pass us by, but Lord, may it be a moment that calls us to repentance. May it be a moment that is illuminated in our heart where we can see and where we can know Your great love for each of us. Lord, touch each one as they need it. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.